Saved by his wonderful grace. Yes, I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out, show me the way. Amen. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Let's bow our heads to him. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, Lord, that we did not deserve. But Lord, one day we found out what you did for us. One day we realized that Calvary was not a story about other people. It was a story about us and what you did for us and what you did for me personally, Lord. And Lord, that changed things, Lord. You became a change from a God that was far away to a God that was very near. And we ask you to be very near today, Lord. We ask you to come and visit us today. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us. Break open the bread of life to us, Lord. Heal our bodies. Lord, we don't want to be depending on medicine. We want to depend on you, Lord. And we know that's the primary way, healing from you, God. It's the children's bread. We know the doctors can do so much, Lord, but help us, Lord, today. You are the great physician. And I thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for penicillin. We thank you for those things. But Lord, heal our bodies today. Touch us, Lord, today. Change us and make us what you want us to be. Lord, I ask you to bless the reading of the word today. Lord, I'm unable and insufficient and unworthy to stand here, but you are worthy. And what you did on Calvary gives us a provided way to escape. Bless this service, Lord. Bless each one. You see their needs and the unspoken requests. We commit them all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we're seated, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15. The book of Acts, chapter 15. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to start with verse 1 and read down through verse 6, and then I'll let you be seated. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here today? You know, it's not easy to be a Christian, but I'd rather be a Christian than anything in the whole world. It's not a picnic. Every day is a battle, and sometimes we get weary in battle. And so when you're on the front lines and you're by yourself and snipers are shooting at you, demons are attacking you, and doubts and fears are troubling you, see, then sometimes you need to regroup with those of like precious faith. You need to come back together, and you talk about the battles, and you'll find out each and every one's having maybe different battles, but similar, right? We're all having, so we come together today to worship the Lord Jesus, to gain strength from one another, to gain strength from His Word, so we can go out there on the front lines and fight again. Fight again, because we are in a fight, we are in a battle, and if you don't realize that, you've already lost. Because we're in a battle every day, and there's demon spirits trying to destroy you and your soul and your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. That's a reality we face every day. And I realize it's very serious. Do you realize that angels of God, the holy angels of God, desire to look into this meeting today? Christians may lose their interest in church, but angels are interested in what's happening, because God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. And salvation is real.
Amen.
Being saved is real.
Amen.
And being lost is real. So this is not, we're not playing here. This is very serious. And I do think we probably won't fully understand the importance of it until we get to the other side, because we don't see everything really as it is. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, right? When that which is perfect is come. So praise the Lord. I'm happy today.
Amen.
And appreciate the testimonies. And I know, you know, when someone's in pain, you want to alleviate the pain, don't you? And whatever it takes, you know. If I get a headache, I'll be honest with you, I take Tylenol. Does that mean I don't believe God? No, that doesn't. You know, I got a nice quote from Brother Branham back there. He says, you know, if God's servant, the doctor, can't do no more, you know, you got a right to believe in God. We have a right to believe in God right today. We know that. But there are some things I do believe that God has allowed man to discover, like just say penicillin or things like that, that help. You know, usually when there's a plant that causes a problem right nearby, there's a remedy to the problem. And see, our remedy is Calvary. Everything we ever had need of, He paid for on Calvary. And so sometimes, though, we know that God will do a miracle instantly, and sometimes there's a longer process that we don't understand, but we know that's the reality of it. So I'm glad to hear people believe God. And if someone can get relief somehow, I'm certainly not going to stand in their way and say, no, you shouldn't do that. I'm not going to do that. You might think that you should, but when someone's in pain, please don't stand in their way. Let them get the relief how they can. But we know the ultimate relief is faith in what He did for us. That's our anchor. Praise the Lord. So I'm actually excited about this today. I'm so thankful for God's grace and mercy. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
I wake up every day and I realize that I can't even imagine where I would be today in this world if He hadn't touched me. I just can't imagine, because I was going the wrong way. I was definitely going the wrong way. I wasn't going towards God. I was going away from God. And one day He touched me.
Amen.
Now, since that day, I'm not perfect, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I have a lot of problems in myself, but He's perfect.
Amen.
And if I yield to His Spirit, it's better for me and everybody around me.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean we always do that, because we all know we all fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us do. That's not an excuse. That's just a reality. That we, even if you sincerely try with all your heart to do what's right and to serve God with all your heart, you still fall.
That's right.
We still make mistakes, because we're flawed beings, because we were born of sin. We were born of a natural sex act, and we know that that's that original sin, and so that's in us, and we have a fallen nature in us, and that causes us to do things that are against the Spirit of God. So within our very being, there's a battle of the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit of God, there's a battle within you of what He wants and what our flesh wants. And the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. And recognizing that battle, and recognizing that, listen, that somehow you got to recognize, I really want what God wants for me. What really I am is I love the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I love the Word of God. Now, my flesh man tries to get to go the other way. That's not what I am. That's not who I am. Every thought that comes into my mind is not who I am.
Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Greatest battle ever fought. So we're still in the book of Acts, and I have to confess, I love every minute of it. Because it's home to us, right? And say, well, I don't see that we're not like that. Listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I believe, I still believe, we have a promise in this day that God will produce another Book of Acts church. Now, you can cite to us examples around the world of supernatural things that have happened and examples like that, and I rejoice in every one of them. But I want to see it right here. See, my faith is right here that we shall produce what was produced in the Book of Acts church. And anything short of that, okay, in God's time, I don't accept it because that's the standard. The standard is the Book of Acts church. So if we're short of that, we say, all right, well, there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a timing in God, but I believe in that. I believe in a Book of Acts church. So let's look at what happened in this example this morning. And I'm titling this The Question, because there was a question put forth that says they went together to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. But I want you to see something here. It wasn't put forth as a question. It was put forth as a statement, a fact. See, and many times, that's how things happen. Something that was really an attack against the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ came forth not as a question, even though it was a question, it came forth as a fact. And Satan loves to do that. He'll convince somebody of an error, and they'll be so convinced that they'll introduce that thought as a fact. You understand what I'm saying? But really, it was introducing a question and some doubt into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know what doubt does. Sin is doubt, right? It's unbelief. And if you disbelieve the word of God, you have to first disbelieve the word of God before you believe the lie of the devil. Help us to see it in our life. So, praise God. I really love to look at these things in the Bible. And I've seen things in this that I didn't see before. So, God, help us today. So, it introduces a question. These certain men, it says certain men, doesn't say who they are. They came from Judea and they taught the brethren. I believe it was at Antioch because this is in the previous chapter. That's where they were, where they were first called Christians. And they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, cannot be saved. So here's the thought. Now, if you go back to that day, you know, something big was changing. They were going from an Old Testament covenant to a new covenant. And whenever there's a new covenant like that, a big thing changed like that, then it's some people just don't see the big picture. And, you know, think about these people. They Paul didn't agree with them at all, did he? When they said this statement, except you be circumcised after a manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. What did Paul do? He said, well, yeah, that's fine. You can believe that. No, he did not. He had that lion spirit on him, and he went right up to them, and he disputed with them and said, you're wrong. That's a wrong statement. You're saying something that's wrong. Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. So he went up to them and he didn't agree. And the Bible says, no small dissension. Okay, what's a small dissension? Well, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. And Paul said, well, no, I don't agree with that. And then they go on. No, there was no small dissension. There was a big discussion about this. Amen. Because these men came up with this thought in their mind and they wanted to make sure all the new believers were circumcised. Notice, after the manner of Moses. You know, they didn't say after the manner of Abraham. To me, that's interesting. They said after the manner of Moses. You see, it was the same circumcision under Moses as under Abraham. But what speaks to me is Abraham's covenant was unconditional. But under Moses, the law was introduced, which was conditional. If you do this, then I'll do this. In other words, if you don't do this, you can't be saved. See, that whole conditional thought is really not the original covenant to the Jews, because God said to Abraham, I have already done it for you. Unconditional covenant. And then Brother Bram said the greatest mistake Israel made was to accept the law when they already had a grace covenant. Is everybody awake today?
Amen.
Praise God. There's something here. I want to get to it. I'm just trying to get to it. You just pray for me. And so so it's interesting to me that they said, you must be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Right? And then they get to Jerusalem, because they say, all right, they have an ascension and nobody's given way. Paul's not given way. Paul knows he's right. You know, Paul was a church age messenger. He had the right revelation of what the gospel was about. And it was a gospel of grace, not a gospel of laws. And he knew that was right. He knew his stand. He said, I didn't receive it from man or hear it from man. I got it direct from Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul knew where he stood. Well, these men thought they knew where they stood, and they wouldn't give way either. So then they said, someone must have said in the group, I don't believe it was Paul, because he didn't need to hear from anybody. He knew what he was talking about. But somebody said, let's go up to the apostles, because they're kind of an authority, because they were first in, so they know better. Well, that's not always true, right? But anyway, they go up to the apostles to get a word on this discussion, because it's a serious thing. And then they go up to Jerusalem, and it became even more interesting up there. Because while they're there, there rose a certain sect of the Pharisees. Now, my Bible says of the Pharisees, which believed. Now, what do you think they believed? They believed in Jesus. All right, because if they didn't believe in Jesus, they wouldn't be in this discussion at all. So we know that the Bible teaches that certain of the priests became Christians, became believers. Is that right? But sometimes people join the club and they bring their old beliefs with them. Some people come out of denominationalism and they bring some ideas with them. You know, we need to leave that behind. We come to the pure word of God.
Amen.
So they brought their ideas with them. Certain sects of the Pharisees that were believers, they're Christians now. They came and said, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
Amen.
Woo! They're not getting this whole new turn in the corner thing. They're not getting the whole new covenant. Paul must have just been just shaking his head going, oh my goodness. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. They are all about the law, keeping the law, all about I've done this and I get that. Yeah, there's still some people like that today. So, and the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. Praise God. So let's see what happened when they came together, because I think it's worth going a little further. Acts 15:7-11. And when there had been much disputing, so there was disputing just between Paul and them down there, and then they come up here and there's more disputing. I don't like disputing myself, frankly. I don't think it doesn't hardly get you anywhere. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, what was Peter talking about? The house of Cornelius, right? Which Peter, remember when we went over that? He wouldn't have gone there for nothing. Except he had a supernatural experience. He had a vision from God, and the cloth comes down, and all these unclean beasts. He says, something says eat. He says, I can't eat that. That's unclean. And God says to him, don't call unclean that which I've called clean. Don't call common that which I've made clean. So God had to convince Peter to go, or else he would have never went. And right when he comes out of the vision, people knocking on the door, where's Peter? And then the voice says, there's men down there. Go with them. Right? You get it? Peter was used. Why was Peter used? Because this discussion was going to come up later. You know, God has a plan.
Amen.
God could have sent Paul down there to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel, but it was needful because God, aren't you glad that our God could see the end from the beginning?
Amen.
Our God could see there was trouble coming. Our God could see there was a question going to be introduced, and he needed Peter the Jew to go down to the Gentiles and see that God sees no difference. Praise God. Love this. So Peter says, men and brethren, you know a good while the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us.
Amen.
See, that's the goal. Amen. Is receiving the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That is the goal of every Christian believer. You must be born again of the Spirit of the living God. You must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your soul. You must have an experience with God. So, did unto us, in verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, Peter's got it now, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. He nailed it. Peter nailed it, didn't he? He put it in its place. He took that question and said, that's nonsense. No, it's by faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved.
Amen.
Not by our works. Not by our works. Praise God. I love that. So he points back to the house of Cornelius. Peter remembered what happened very well. You know, if you remember the house of Cornelius, Peter wasn't even trying to get them to receive the Holy Ghost. Is that right? He didn't even want to go there. He was the resistant preacher of all time. He didn't want to go there, and there's Gentiles there. Can we read a little bit in Acts 10 just to remind ourselves? Let's go to Acts 10, verse 30. I'm too excited. Lord, help me. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. Acts 10 verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. Can't you wait to meet Brother Cornelius? I mean, I want to meet the brother. He'll be just like Brother Sal, right? He'll be Italian. He was a soldier, not a plumber. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. You believe in angels coming to people?
Amen.
Book of Acts, church, get ready for angels, because they're coming.
Amen.
They're already here, but soon they're going to reveal themselves and show themselves to you when there's a reason for them to do it.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we're all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. We're ready.
Amen.
I tell you, you'd be ready too.
Amen.
If an angel came to you and said, hey, go get this brother at this place, and he was there, and he comes into your place, and now he's there, you'd be ready to hear too. So they were ready to hear. That's a key. They were ready to believe. But I want to ask you a question. What were they expecting? Now, they didn't go there. And I'm getting ahead of myself. What were their expectations? I want you to think about that. What was Cornelius' expectations? Was he saying, I really got to speak in tongues at this meeting? No, sir. He didn't know anything about that. He didn't know anything about that. They were coming to hear a message from this man, Peter. They were coming to hear what he had to say. They weren't coming to get some sensation. Now, sensations came with it afterwards. That's true. Okay, but what were their expectations? And I think that's very important. Because remember, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And after he believed correctly, God gave him the seal of circumcision as a sign that he received his faith. And what can we do as Christians? We believe God. We believe Jesus died for us. We believe the gospel of salvation. And when you believe correctly, God seals your faith with the circumcision of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. So, but if you don't believe correctly, see, then it's a problem. The inspector comes in and says, problem. Now, let's look at what Peter said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Do you know he's still no respecter of persons today? But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, and to give and him give all the to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, pay attention now, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or you got to preach long sermons or they can't get the Holy Ghost. You got to hammer them and they got to go to the altar or they can't have the Holy Ghost. You got to actually spend hours and hours at the Holy Ghost. Lawgivers. That's not what happened in the Bible. Look now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, Peter wasn't expecting them to get the Holy Ghost. They didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But what was the key? They believed the good news. They believed the simple gospel that Peter preached to them.
Amen.
And therefore, God sealed them with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And God is no respecter of persons.
Hallelujah.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. Believe. Right? What happened on David? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise. You know, we make it too hard. I think we men, we always get in the way. We were talking about this today. When men tries to fix something, he always makes it worse.
Amen.
We don't need to fix the gospel. We don't need to change the gospel. We don't need a new gospel. We need to believe the original one and we'll get the original experience they had.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen. But I'm not in favor of pressure tactics. That is not what they did in the beginning.
Amen.
I'm not in favor of threatening people. Putting people under fear and bondage, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel sets them free. The gospel frees you from bondage. The gospel makes you realize, if I believe, it presents the good news. You know what? He died on that cross. Almighty God, the spotless lamb, came down as a kinsman redeemer. He lived on this earth and he willingly laid down his life. He laid down his life on Calvary.
Amen.
And whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. I believe that.
Amen.
I think you're in danger when you try to add something to it. Because my Bible says, whosoever shall take from or add to, his name will be taken out of the book of life.
Amen.
See, the dangerous part, people want to introduce, preachers want to introduce, you have to do this and you have to do that. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep all my laws and you got to keep Moses' laws and you got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. Believe! That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. They received the Holy Ghost because they believed. They weren't even expecting something. They just believed. Peter wasn't even expecting them to get it. I love that part. Everybody puts on a preacher. I didn't get the Holy Ghost because of you. He didn't even believe that they were going to get it, and they got it because he preached the truth and they believed the truth, and therefore that's how it works. The problem is there's so much man's ideas injected with the Word of God that it's not the right, it's not the original.
Amen.
We want the original. That's the whole reason there was an end time message to bring us back to the original so we could have the original experience and produce what they did in the beginning.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I know I'm too excited. Lord, help us. Let's just tell them about Jesus. The gospel today is the very same gospel. It's not a different gospel. What did Brother Branham tell us about Jesus? Yes, he did. He preached what Paul preached. Now, I don't care if there's men today taking what he said and twisting it and preaching something else. I'm going to preach what Paul preached. Because that's what produces what we need. An experience with the Holy Ghost. Peter gave them good news. Christ died and rose again. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
He's not the second person of a Trinity. That's a lie of the devil. Show me the word Trinity in the Bible. Show me second person of the Trinity. No. There is three, but not three persons. There's three manifestations of the same Spirit, and that's the truth. And the Bible testifies to that because it says, go ye therefore baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And when they did, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Because that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. My name is John, but I'm a father and I'm a son and I'm a human being, but I sign my name John.
Amen.
It's so simple, isn't it? If you can get rid of old ideas. But these Pharisees couldn't. They were holding on. No, we've been keeping the law our whole life. We're law enforcers too. They were law enforcement officers. They not only kept the law, but they were out to attack people that didn't keep the law. I'm afraid there's people like that today. They're not sharing the good news. They're just law enforcement officers. Help us, Jesus. So, I still believe we're not saved by works. I still believe we are truly saved when we really believe that Jesus took our place. When we look to Calvary and we look and we live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in God's Word. It is only that we look and live. See, remember in the Old Testament when the brazen serpent was on that pole? What did they have to do? They didn't have to do a lot of works and self. They looked and lived. Look to the sacrifice and live. Look to Calvary and live.
Amen.
But Brother John, there's something in me just wants to make it a little more complicated than that. There's something in me, Brother John, that just, there's something I got to do. Yeah, that's your carnal flesh nature.
Amen.
That's right. Adam had to sew fig leaves together. And that kind of religion just doesn't work.
Amen.
Oh, help us to see, Lord.
Amen.
Help us to see. Jesus took our place. He is the way and the truth and the life.
Amen.
And we are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read something there. Oh, I love this verse of scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, do you believe God is rich in mercy?
Amen.
Or do you believe that God only has judgment and fire and brimstone? And God, My Bible says, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's me, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace ye are saved.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that, what's the that? Faith, right? That follows. Correct me, English teachers. But we are saved. You, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Yes. Say, well, yeah, it's grace, but the faith is mine. Yeah, the faith is all mine. I did the faith part. That's not scriptural. The grace he did for you. The faith he gave to you. It's all him. It's all him. That's why the Bible says, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting in Christianity. Do you realize there in real Christianity, there is no looking down on your fellow man. There is no looking down on a sinner, because in reality, that's what I was until his grace came to me. Yeah, you could feel sorry for people in sin, and I do. But I realize that's what I would be if he hadn't touched me. I don't look down on them and what they do. Why do we get mad at sinners for doing sinner things? Why do we get mad at sinners for acting like sinners? Let me ask this. Why do you get mad at Christian people for not behaving right? Help us, Lord. Because there's something wrong with them. Yeah, if there's something wrong with them, they need more grace. They don't need more law, because law ain't going to help anybody. Criticism never changes anybody for the better. You take a child that's under criticism his whole life, and that produces something bad. Amen. You take a child that's under the love and the balanced love of God, there'll be correction, but it's balanced with love. That's different. Then it's not criticism of the person where they feel their self-image is nothing. It's that they're learning what's right and what's wrong. God teaches his children what's right and wrong, but he does it in a loving way. He corrects us for our benefit. Aren't you glad God corrects us? You know, I feel that staff all the time. Oh, yes. Forgive me, Lord. Because, see, we're sheep and we can go astray, but his spirit just corrects us. We read the word, it pricks our heart, and we come back in line. And then we say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that, what we would go wrong way. We thank God for correction. And I tell you why we thank God, because he does it in the right way. But we as humans, we don't always do it in the right way. We're guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No boasting in Christianity. So who are these people that were introducing the question? It was in a form of a statement, but it was a question about, is it really just faith, or is it really just faith? Praise God. Help us, Lord. These are certain of the Pharisees which believed. They were professing Christians. You know, legalists just don't get it. Let me just say it right out. Legalistic-minded people do not get salvation. That's not how they think.
Amen.
That is not how the Pharisees thought. And it matters.
Amen.
Because the way you believe affects the way you live and the way you give out.
That's right.
The way you treat other people. There's a difference in a person that says, you know what? I didn't do anything to get saved. He came and touched me. He changed me, and I have nothing to do with it. And that really is what happened, and that's really what they believe. Amen. So when they're introducing the gospel to somebody else, they don't have a lot of rules about it. They don't sit down and say, all right, now you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. You can do this, but you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And by the way, I'm going to be enforcing the law on you. Because you're mine. I saved you. Come on. We can't save anybody. You think you can save anybody, you're under a delusion. God saves people. So the Pharisees, they were proud they kept the law. They were very proud of their works. Very proud. Of course, they didn't keep it all. But they deluded themselves in thinking they did. Not so like some legalists today. They think they keep everything. They don't even know how many times they messed up. Because they're in this delusion of self-righteousness. Self-righteous people can't see their own flaws.
Amen. Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is not permitted into their mind.
Amen.
Because they grieve the Holy Ghost. They spend their whole life enforcing the law on others. Quiet. It's quiet. Yet they claim to believe in Jesus. The Bible said they believed. I feel like I met some of these people. Oh, yes, yes, we believe, you know, Jesus died and we're saved. But you got to be circumcised and you got to keep all these laws. You ever meet somebody like that? Wait a minute. I thought he paid it all. Yeah, you paid it all. But let's introduce a question here. You really think that's all you have to do? Is believe in Jesus? Are you crazy? Legalists. Introduce a question which is a doubt that faith in Calvary is all you need. You know why? Because see, faith in Christ, that's what you need. But that faith will produce something. And they want to see it now. Wait a minute. That's not what he said. You know, the church age messenger of sanctification, he said sanctification is an instantaneous work, but it's preceded and followed by a gradual work. You see what I'm saying? Wesley believed you were instantaneously sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. But he said, that's preceded and followed by a gradual work. You see, God works with us.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
But humans, we want instant. You say you believe, I want to see perfection right now. Wait a minute, you don't even require that of yourself, you hypocrite.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Let's have mercy on people and say, listen, if they believe, God's going to do something there.
Amen.
And maybe they're not where they need to be, but you know what? I'm not where I need to be yet. And God's still, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Let's have as much mercy on other people as we have on ourselves.
Amen.
What a novel thought. I'm not mad. I'm just happy. I'm really happy because you know what? I believe faith in Calvary
Amen.
Is how you're saved.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And there ain't no question in my mind. Amen. I don't care how many Pharisees come around and how many legalists try and introduce questions and doubts. I believe.
Yes.
I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Not of works. It's not what I do.
Amen.
It's what he did for me.
Amen.
Praise God. Do you believe? Is believing in Jesus enough? Is believing in Jesus enough? Some people are like, yes, but they just can't quite do it. Can't quite say yes.
Amen.
Believing, he paid it all.
Amen.
See, that's what your Bible teaches. So to not believe that is to add something to the gospel. It's dangerous grounds. I think people don't realize. Praise God. See, some people see it like, yeah, believing, but you got to do this and this and this. where you're not saved, you're just like the Pharisees. You're just like these people requiring laws. Only it's your laws. It's what you put in your mind that they have to do. You realize some people go around saying, well, if you don't have a long sleeve shirt, man, you're not even saved. Come on. Is that the law of God? Or is that some man's law? We came out of the laws of man. We came out of the creeds of men. I'm not going back into the creeds of men. No, sir. I got my arms wrapped around the cross.
Amen.
That's where I'll stay.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Yes.
And if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin. Well, do you really believe he's faithful to forgive you? Or if you do it again, you're in trouble. See, there's a question there. There's a question. Every time you fall, if you confess your sin to God, he's faithful and just to forgive you. We're the ones that puts limits on it. We're the ones that say, well, I did that yesterday. He's got to be disappointed in me. I did it again today. Oh, what's the point of even repenting? No, we got to stay behind the word of God.
Right.
He promised that. And you keep, every time you get in your right mind, you keep repenting, you keep repenting. Don't make excuses for sin. Repent.
Amen.
Confess your sins.
Hallelujah.
Bible says repent quickly. Not slowly.
Amen.
Quickly. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's move on here. I believe in the end, the truth will be known. It's not about what we have done. But it's all about our attitude, which has, it's about your faith, our attitude towards what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
That's the difference maker.
Hallelujah.
It's not about what we have done, but it's all about our attitude towards what he has done for us. No works that you do will ever earn your salvation. Never. Praise God. Now let's look at what the Bible teaches. Romans 3. Can we go through some verses of Scripture? Let's anchor our faith in the Scriptures. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe.
Amen.
For there is no difference.
Amen.
Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, does that include everybody in this room?
Yes.
You're right, it does. And if you think you haven't fallen short of the glory of God, you don't believe the Bible. Because it says all have sinned and fall short. Even if you're not aware of where you fell short, you fell short.
Amen.
All right. And the grace is when God helps you see where.
Amen.
That's grace. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. What's a propitiation? It's a substitute sacrifice.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Oh, look what it says. Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So he becomes our substitute sacrifice, not our works, not our sacrifice, not what we can produce, but he, through faith in his blood and his sacrifice, he becomes our substitute sacrifice.
Amen.
That is what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
That is the gospel.
Amen.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, let me stop there. He is the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So their faith in what he did causes something to happen in the sight of God, because the sight of everybody else doesn't matter. In the sight of God, those that believe in Jesus become justified by their faith in what he did for them.
Amen.
And justify means it's just like you never did it. So in reality, you did something wrong. In reality, you should be punished for what you did wrong. But the New Testament gospel says, if you believe in his sacrifice, now it's just like you never did it. Because his blood covers you, and that sin will not be brought up at the great white throne, because that sin has been obliterated by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's value in believing in Jesus. Never diminish someone's faith in what Jesus did on the cross. I don't care where they are in their life. I don't care even if they're in sin. If they can find faith to believe in Jesus, that is worth something. God can do something in their life. But they're not perfect yet, Brother John, but neither are you. Don't diminish someone's faith in Calvary. Don't belittle that.
Amen.
That's an insult to God. Listen, God does the work.
Amen.
We don't do the work. People don't do the work. God does the work. It's God that works in you to will and to do that which is pleasing to God. Right? This is the word of God.
Amen.
It's the gospel.
Amen.
Verse 27. Where is boasting then? There we go again. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude. Here's the conclusion: that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul nails it. He nails it down. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Do you believe that? Praise God. Romans 4, verse 13. I got to hurry up. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Do you see that? He's the father of faith. Those that believe. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all of all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's faith. It's about faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's up there, right? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ? By one Spirit. We are baptized into one body. Right? But how do you get the Spirit? Well, you work really hard for it. No. That's not true. Does the Bible say that it's the gift of the Holy Ghost? Does your Bible say that? How do you earn a gift from God? It's not by your works. It's not by your payment, but it's by your faith in what he did for you. That's how you get the Holy Ghost. Like in the house of Cornelius. They weren't like saying, I got to get the Holy Ghost. I got to get the Holy Ghost. I think that hinders getting the Holy Ghost. I think when preachers sin or say, you got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to go. I think that hinders getting the Holy Ghost. Because it becomes, I have to do it. I have to earn it. If I don't spend 3 hours and all night at the altar like the preacher did, I'm not going to get it.
Amen.
And then we get young people saying, I did what they told me to do and it didn't happen. Yeah, because that's not how it works. It's faith. It's receiving the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's believing that that person of Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. That's how you receive the Holy Ghost. You mean, Brother John, I don't have to do a bunch of things and earn God's favor, and I don't have to do this and do that and not do this and not do that. See, everybody's focused on what happens after you receive the Holy Ghost. But before you receive the Holy Ghost, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the promise of God. And if you believe correctly, He will not break His promise. He will give you that promise. It's like a father that, you know, Tim loves his kids like nobody I know, right? You can just feel it when Tim's around his kids. He'd tear his heart out for his kids, right? That's a compliment, by the way, too. If he promises kids something, he's going to do everything he can to give it to them. Do you think he'd sit there and say, well, they did what they were supposed to do, but I'm not going to give it to them? How much greater is our Heavenly Father? He's promised if we believe that He died for us, we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift. Now you say, well, you have to be baptized first. Cornelius' house, they weren't baptized. They did water baptism afterwards. They did it the wrong way. They believed. You see, I've baptized people over here, but if something doesn't happen in here, the baptism doesn't do no good. There's no power in that physical act. The baptism is a symbol that you've died in Christ. You've been buried with Christ. We're buried with Him in baptism. It's a symbol that something already took place. And it's a public testimony that my old life is dead and hid in Christ. And I rise up out of the grave a new creature in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
When you consider the gospel,
hallelujah.
Isn't it wonderful when you consider what Jesus has done for us?
Amen.
I'm so glad that these Pharisees introduced the question so it could be addressed.
Amen.
Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? That's the do's and don'ts. That's the flesh trying to earn this and earn that. We're free from that by our faith in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, there's a different law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit bringeth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth life. You can have the Word and be dead, but when you get the Spirit on top of the Word, it brings life.
Amen.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son, there's the answer, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you see it? If we walk in the Spirit,
amen,
we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Get in the Spirit. Whatever you want to do, get in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, it's going to turn out the right way. But if you try and do something mechanical and human, it doesn't turn out very well. See, it's just us then. Romans 10. Can I keep reading?
Amen.
It's the Word, brother. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Wow. See, you know why? Because when you get in Christ, that fulfills the law. All those laws about worshiping God and how you treat one another, that gets fulfilled when we get into Christ. Because then Christ is in us now, He's fulfilling his own laws through us. It's not what we do, it's what he's doing in us. Praise God.
Amen.
For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Come on, challenge yourself. Go home and challenge yourself. Get alone and say, do I believe that? Gosh, why am I such a legalist? Why am I such a law enforcer all the time? Why am I so hard and bitter? I should be happy.
Amen.
Praise God. I think we should be happy.
Amen.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Praise God. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, check, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what? If you believe, confess that. I think it's perfectly okay, even if the world says you're insane, when you're all alone to say, I'm saved by the grace of God. I do that, by the way. I'm all alone, nobody visible around me, and in these troubles in my mind, I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ has saved me.
Amen.
You want to stick around, devil? Here it comes again. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, because there are spirits that bother us. There are spirits that trouble us. Just confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Is this something new? It's something needful. It's not something new. Praise God. You know, Paul knew where he stood. He knew that these men were wrong. He didn't need to go to Jerusalem. He had a direct word from Jesus Christ. And you can read the rest of the chapter just to save time. Acts 15, you read that, you know, they went up to Jerusalem to talk about it. And, you know, I kind of laughed, chuckled a little bit because, you know, they said, they came to the same conclusion as Paul. And they didn't want to put the burden of the law on these people. But they said, listen, don't commit fornication. Well, of course. You know, man just has to have something to do into it, you know? We gotta give him something. We gotta say something. We gotta put some kind of rules. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So anyway, you read there and I'm not gonna go through it, and they sent letters and it spread joy. You know, the good news of the gospel spreads joy. But the bondage of men produces heaviness. Oh, I have to do this and I have to do that. Praise God. Abstain from meats offered to idols. Praise God. You know, later in the Gospel of Paul, what did he talk about? You know, he didn't really care. He didn't really care if you ate meat offered to idols. Is that true? But the council up there, all the Jews up there were like, well, no fornication and things strangled and things off, you know, they had to put some kind of rules in it because they just couldn't stand it. But the church age messenger set it straight. He said, listen, if you pray over your food, it's going to be all right. But if you have a brother sitting next to you that believes he's not allowed to eat that, and he sees you eating it, and then he eats it, and it's a violation of his conscience, then you hurt your brother. So if you feel free to do something, but someone else doesn't feel free, and they see you do it, and then they do it because they saw you do it, but they still think it's wrong, then you've hurt your brother. Use not your liberty as an occasion to fetch. Don't use your liberty to hurt your brother. You understand? Paul brought a nice balanced gospel. Because in the end of the day, and let's go to Romans 13, Sean. Romans 13, verse 8. Paul was able to sum up the law and the prophets. And I love how he did it. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything. That's good advice today, by the way. But to love one another. To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Praise God.
Amen.
That's how Christians fulfill the law. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, and they treat people right. They love God, and they worship God the way He wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and then they love their neighbor as themself. That fulfills the law, not like all these commandments that we want to list out and get credit for, and we think we got a point system somewhere because we did this and we didn't do that. Help us, Lord. You love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Let's all stand. I'm tired. Praise God. Oh, aren't you happy to be saved? Jesus signed my pardon.
Amen.
This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go.
Amen.
All my life I give Him. Not as a law, because I want to. All my life I give Him. He gave His for me when He signed my pardon there on Calvary. Let's bow our heads to Him. Oh, Father, Lord, I stand here unworthy, unprofitable. There's nothing good in me, Lord. But I see the perfect sacrifice. I see what You've done. There's nothing I could do to earn Your favor. There's nothing I could do to change what You've already done. What I need to do is accept Your provided way of escape. Lord, I ask You to look over this little audience here today. And may each one search their hearts. And may You quicken to them what they're trusting in for salvation. And Lord, let it be today that there's no one here today that will trust in anything except what You've done for us. That we will solemnly today trust in Calvary. We will solemnly trust in the blood that was shed. We will solemnly trust that You paid it all. And that it's by faith in Your finished work that we are saved today, and that we can walk on this earth and declare to other people that we are saved by the grace of God. We're saved from hell and all the punishment we deserve because Jesus took our place. Lord, I realize that it won't be fully understood until we get to the other side. But this little talk today, Lord, I believe it means something. Lord, may we not add anything to the gospel of our salvation, but may we believe with all of our hearts. Bless each one that's here today. Oh God, save us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. And may that salvation experience lead us to a life that's pleasing to you, Lord. Lead us out of all carnality and fleshly desires and lusts, Lord. May we just leave that all behind and find our joy in the Spirit of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Jesus, sign my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place.